Welcome to the Wisdom for Life podcast with David Baker. David was a former paratrooper in the 82nd Airborne Division and for over 30 years has been a preacher. He has written 5 books and is an Amazon number one best-selling author. He is the chaplain at the county jail, pastors a church, and is the father of 11 children. Yes, 11. This podcast is here to give you wisdom for your family, your marriage, your children, your finances, your health, and your life. And now, the host of Wisdom of Life podcast, David Baker.
Hello and welcome, David Baker. Welcome to the Wisdom for Life podcast. I'm glad that you're here and looking forward to another session to be able to help us with our children. So we did a few 5 or 6 parts on children, and now we're doing them on teenagers. So a lot of this crosses over, but there are some things that are different. All right. So, and these are not to be dogmatic, and most of these are not chapter verse things. They're life experience wisdom. That's having 11 children of our own, going through all the teenage years. My youngest one is 15. Youngest child, and then helping a lot of other people with their children. So next, these are the list of the top 20 problems with teenagers that they have. So this is lesson part number 3 of that. All right, sleep schedule, changes in sleep patterns, such as staying up late, difficulty waking up early. This is really a big deal, and I don't think most parents give a lot of thought to this. They say teenagers need more sleep. And if that's true, then that's great. Then they ought to go to bed earlier. They ought to go to bed earlier. We did not let our kids sleep late. We didn't summertime, summer vacation. I remember thinking that, like, whoa, summer vacation for what? You know, how hard was school? Oh, it's just so hard. You need a whole summer off. You do understand where summer vacation came from? That was because the farmers weren't going to send their kids to school anyway because they needed them for the crops, so they may as well just take off school anyway. All right, that's why there's summer vacation, so kids can work. So instead of letting them sleep in late, you ought to have work jobs for them at the home when they're young, and then out when they get older, and teach them money and work and schedule and all that. My boys started working early doing construction, and so they had to be up early, and they did their own breakfast and got themselves out the door and got themselves where they needed to be. Remember, we are training them, preparing them to be adults, and that's what adults have to do. Moms don't need to wake up the kids. You have an alarm, you set it, you get up, you go to work. This is your work, your job, your future. Boy, what a big deal that is. My boys have never struggled with that, and many of them, it's 5 o'clock, they have to get up. Some are earlier than that now with the jobs that they have, and so you need to sleep, go to bed earlier. So some people, I mean, kids can sleep 12 hours a day, but most of the time it's coming off of bad behavior. We're staying up too late watching movies or Netflix or YouTube or with friends or talking or gaming or whatever. Those things are not good. Shut those things down, turn them off, and go to sleep so you can get the sleep that you need. It's good that a man bear his yoke in his youth. And we had 7 boys, and boy, thank God that they learned how to get up and work. And it's interesting, the next youngest ones that weren't going to work, they would get up with them and prepare breakfast and lunch for them so they could go. And then when the next one went to work, the next younger one got up and prepared breakfast and lunch. We didn't make them do that. They just did that because they care about each other. Hey, I got to go to work. Could you help me? Yeah, sure. They got up and helped them with it. It was amazing what happened. And boy, now as adult men, to know they can get up and do what they need to do, that's a big deal that you don't have to worry about that. So, okay, teenagers need more sleep. Fine, go to sleep early, okay? But do not let them sleep all day. All right, body image, self-esteem, concerns about body image, self-esteem, self-worth. This is really a big deal. Esteem, show me anywhere in the Bible we are to esteem ourselves. Well, you need to love yourself. Yes, and everyone does. The Bible said, no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth. No, no, no. Some people hate their flesh, and that's why they cut themselves, and they have a bad self-body image and all that. Please, as kindly as I try to say this, all that is pride and self. Okay? We're supposed to be dead to self. We don't matter. Hey, this is the way God made us. The nose I have is the nose I have. The ears I have are the ears that I have. And guess what? God made me exactly the way he wanted me to be. Some people have better this and better that. Nobody has everything of everything. And the ones that do have to struggle with pride. And pride go up before fall. You'd rather have less and be more humble than to be proud and have that taken away from you. So the body image, those things, they are what we call first world problems. Third world, they don't worry about that kind of stuff. It's how are we going to eat? Where are we going to live? Are we going to have money for this? When we don't have a vision, a purpose, a focus on things that are more important than the things that aren't important, like, oh, my ears are too big. They stick out. My nose is too big. It's not like so-and-so's nose. And, oh, I wish I had eyebrows like so-and-so. And like, really? Okay, who are we focused on? Self. Is that what we're supposed to be focused on? No, we're dead to self. Hey, we take what God gave us and do the best we can with it and go on. Amen? That's it. It's like, well, you know, no. So self-esteem is to esteeming yourself, setting yourself up. God says we're to esteem others better than ourselves. That's how we're supposed to think of ourselves. And body image, we are what we are. Now, if someone's overweight, then work, exercise, eat less, do something to lose weight. That's a good thing to be able to do. Nothing wrong with that. But to compare your body image with somebody else's and to spend time to put self down is not. Help them to be comfortable with who they are, who God made them to be. Now, in our world, are there people that are better looking than others or people that have a better this than somebody else? Yes. Guess what? That's life. Get over it and focus on what God gave you, and you do the best you can with what God gave you. Or focus on things you can, hey, have a better personality. Have a better heart and care for other people. Be the kindest, the nicest, be the friendliest. He that hath friends must show himself friendly. You be that person. You be that person with whatever you have. And my girls have been very attractive, and we helped them with, guess what? It's not about that, okay? They got out there, worked. I got a picture of my daughters doing roofing. This week we were doing yard work, and daughters out there with my son and picking up sticks and burning stuff. And, like, you know, it's work. And don't think of yourself too highly. That's not a good thing. It's not going to be good for you. It's not going to be good for them, okay? So help kids with that. The pride and body image and self-esteem, those things become destructive. And many kids have taken their life because of that. And you get bullying because of that. Like, you can laugh at whatever you want to about me. It's okay. I don't care. God made me that way. And when you have that kind of spirit and attitude, no one can get you down. That's what you want to do and help and build up with people. Listen, God loves you. He loves you enough to send his only son to die for you. You are worth something to God. Help them with that. Self-esteem, to think they're better than somebody else or compared to somebody else, absolutely not. God made you perfect the way he wanted you to be. Okay? So really a big deal. All right, peer relationships, navigating complex friendships, romantic relationships. Okay? We've talked about this, but it's such a big one. Okay, very simply, here it is. Dating is preparation for marriage. Are you ready to get married yet? No, then you're not ready to date yet. And by the way, that's 14 or 17 or 18 or 19. Okay? Well, how are they going to learn how to get to be around the opposite sex? Treat your mom right, treat your sister right. You'll have no problem treating a wife right. Girls, treat your brother good, treat your dad good. You'll have no problem treating your husband well. Honestly, those are the closest relationships to marriage than anything. Dating isn't. Close relationship to marriage is having to live with someone that's family, having to share everything, having things the other person does that gets on your nerves. Those are all brother, sister, mom, dad stuff. The only thing different in marriage is you get the intimacy to go along with that, which is awesome. But learning how to be a good brother, learning how to be a good sister, learning how to be a good son or daughter, that's the best preparation for marriage. Focus on those relationships. You learn how to treat your brother with respect. Men, boys, learn how to treat your sister in kindness and love. You do that, being a good husband, oh, easy. done. You can treat your sister with kindness, treating a wife in a good way, it's over. It literally is the best relationship to learn how to be a good husband is to treat your sister and to treat your wife with love, sorry, your mom with love and care. That's the best prep. Same thing for girls. Treat your brother with respect and care and serve and help. That's your dad. That's the best way to be able to prepare for marriage. Okay. So we did not allow our kids to date till they're 18. At 18, they could date, but it was still, you know, to watch and don't jump into it. And we taught them a whole lot more what to look for and what to watch for instead of, okay, I can date now. Oh, she's cute. Let me date her. All of our kids going to college, it wasn't a rule, but sort of like first semester, you don't need to date. Just watch. Be friendly to everybody, but just watch. Watch what the guys do. Watch who they chase after. Watch their eyes. Watch their character. Watch their godliness. Watch their respect. Watch their attention to rules. Watch all that. Because many times people say, oh, you're good looking. They start dating. Now the heart's wrapped up. That's desperately wicked. And pretty soon, boom, you're hooked. Oh, I just love them. And then you don't see all the red flags and the problems that are coming up. Okay. That's how big that is. It really is a big deal. So don't start that yet. My second son, Jonathan, was 18, and he graduated high school, and he said, Dad, I'll be glad to go to college if you want me to, Bible college if you want me to. He said, but I don't feel like God wants me to be a pastor, and I just started this internship last year with what I want to do in business and construction, and I'm learning a lot. The only reason I would go to Bible college right now would be to find a wife, and I'm not ready to get married anyway, so I don't really know why I need to do that. And I looked at him and said, no. Whose kid are you? Are you sure you're my son? Because that was not me. I was stupid girl crazy and caused me a lot of problems. Here, he has not dated. He's old enough to date, and he says, I'm fine with not dating. I want to keep working on my skill set, my business, my future, and what God's called me to do and be. Wow. Yes, son, we're good. And he worked his job, and he worked his way up, and at 19, 20, kids were making $35 an hour and learned so many things, and then got to do bigger business and more business and run their own crews and now run their own business. And it's like, wow, meant the right time. God sent him the right wife and married and have a little baby girl, and it's awesome. It's great. But those peer relationships can be such a mess, okay? They can be such a mess, And when I was growing up, it was, I'm wanting to date a wrong girl, and Dad, I think, knows she's the wrong kind of girl, but he tried to say something, and I said, you can't tell me who I can like. You can't control. That's my heart. That's my emotion. That's my feeling. And he backed up. Excuse me, kid, I can tell you, okay? That's not a good person. That's not a good girl. You're not going to talk to her. You're not going to be around her. That will get you messed up and destroy you. And by the way, that situation almost did. There were some horrific stories, if I had time to go into those, that Dad should have stopped. Should have done everything he could to stop because it could have destroyed me. I mean, destroyed me. Really is a big deal. Okay. All right. We're going to stop there for today. Next time, you ready? We're going to get into sex education with kids, teenagers. That sounds like fun. Okay. So we're going to get into that next time, but let's stop that here. And hey, love your kids. Teach your kids. Train your kids. Be the example for your kids. We have one chance while they're in our home to have that strong influence, authority on them. After they're out of the house, all we have is influence. So let's use our authority the right way and make sure we keep their heart and teach and train them in the way they should go. Okay? All right. God bless. We'll see you on the next one. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Wisdom for Life podcast. If you have any questions for us, email us at askpastorbaker@gmail.com and we will answer them in an upcoming podcast. The email is askpastorbaker@gmail.com.